Good morning, everyone. Let us go ahead and pray this morning and thank the Lord. Just focus on the Lord this morning and thank Him. Thank Him for the love He has for you. Don't think about the person sitting by you right now. Just think about you. If you were the only human being on the face of the earth, Jesus would have still come, would have still died, buried, and resurrect for you, just for you. That's why Romans chapter 8, verse 32 asks the question, if God did not spare Jesus, but allow him to die for you, how? He didn't say why, he said how? Do you even imagine it possible that he will not give you the healing you're looking for today? It's not possible because he has already given it. So God, we thank you this morning. We truly rejoice in who you are to us, Lord. We don't deserve your love, but you loved us anyway. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Help us in the name of Jesus Christ to sense the reality of that in our heart. Transfer that knowledge from our head into our heart by opening the eyes of our understanding this morning. Give us revelation knowledge that we might see this as you gave it. And we will passionately, Lord, receive your love as you passionately gave it to us. And be careful to give you and you alone all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Who is ready to receive their healing now? Hallelujah.
No, I already got it.
You already got it. Praise God. So let me rephrase it. Who is ready to manifest that healing that you receive right now? Amen. Amen. You know, you can come closer. I don't bite. You know? I'll come to you. Yeah, I think I'll do that. So I'm going to move over here. Let me set my... my phone recording. Praise God. Praise God. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ifeoma Okechukwu. And today I want to talk to you about your faith. I'm always reluctant to talk to believers about faith.
Faith, F-A-T-E?
F-A-I-T-H.
Okay.
Faith. Don't let my accent get on the way. Yeah, thank you for that clarification, because it's good for us to clarify it. You know why I'm reluctant, always reluctant to do so? Because for you to believe in God, you have faith, right? Right?
Yes.
So doesn't it feel awkward if someone says, I'm going to talk to you about faith so you can have faith? You go, what have I been doing, right? Right? Yeah. However, you know, I'll say it like Andrew Womack will say it. He says, you know who I will believe? I'll believe God, not you. You know, if you tell me something and God says something, I believe God, not you. But I want to believe you. But when I share with you where I'm coming from this morning, you will understand. And I believe God that is going to help you as well. Do you want to come over here? So now I can go over here. Praise God. So, if someone said, I am born again, right? And you ask, how do you know? He said, well, I really don't know. Right? He would say, okay. Let's go over what it means to be born again. Let's see if you
really are.
Yeah, you really are. But again, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit in us will be a spirit with our spirit that we are born again. When you so it's really kind of difficult for you not to know, right? So if you don't know, and you tell me you don't know, and I look at you and we discuss, and I find out that you don't know, it means that you really are not born again, right? James said something. Go with me to James. Let's go to James chapter 2. Again, so that I don't pronounce faith as faith. Can someone read it for us from verse? Read it from verse 14. I'm joking, please. Yeah, I just want us to participate. Let's be part of the whole thing. James chapter 2. Let's read it from verse 14. Who wants to read? Yes, ma'am.
What is the use, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul?
Let's just pause for 1 second. Ephesians chapter 2 says we are saved by faith alone. Right? But James is telling us here, how can you say you're saved without works? Right? That's what he said.
That's what it says.
So what is going on here?
It's the fruit. So they talk about the fruit. You will know them by their fruits.
You will know them by their fruit. Goes back to the person who says, I'm saved, but I'm not sure, right? I don't know if I'm born again, right? The Bible is literally saying in verse 14, we're going to read the rest here, you know, that if you say you're born again, if you say you're saved, if you say you have faith, I want to see that faith. How do I see it? I want to see it. I don't just want you to tell me. I want to see it. I want to see it. Don't tell me. Show me. Right? And we say, oh, believing is an abstract phenomenon. You know, you don't see it. You know, if I believe in my heart, you don't see it. How do you see the belief in my heart right now? Can you see it?
No.
You can see it.
That's scary.
It's scary if you're able to see it. The verse is scary.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what we're going to be discussing in this class today. You know, because some of us have been frustrated that we have confessed I'm healed for a long time. But the manifestation of that healing is yet to come. Who will say?
Yeah. Well, he also says, Jesus said, to confess with your mouth. You know.
You believe in your heart.
So that gets you in, but there's something more.
There's something more here, right? Yeah. There's something more here, and that something more here is what we want to look at. Read the rest before I go into it. 15, go ahead. Read 14 again and just go down.
What is the use, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul? If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each other.
This is an example. He's just using an example now, which you can apply in any area of your life. Go ahead. Sorry.
And one of you says to him, goodbye, keep yourself warm and well fed. Without giving him the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. So the example that was given here is you see me looking hungry and you say, hey, sister, what's... God bless you, you know, but you can help me. You can take me out for lunch. You can, you know, bake me some potatoes. But just God bless you. And you have some. It's not that you don't have, right? Did you really have compassion for me? That's what James is asking us here. Right? And sometimes it's difficult to transfer this to healing. But we're going to try this morning. Right?
We said two things. This is an act that you can deliberately do, the consciousness of your mind. You can decide to do it and do it. But the other kind of faith is supernatural faith.
Okay. You're bringing in another thing, different kinds of faith. But let's stay with this one faith that saved. Right? Because the example in 14, verse 14 is telling us about the faith that saved, right? The save with which we receive, the faith with which we received our salvation. Believing God, and Jesus Christ coming into our heart, being our Lord and Savior. That's the faith we're talking about here. So that's where we are now. You raised up your hand.
I got saved at home by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching TV and
mm-hmm.
I wasn't looking for God or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking
mm-hmm.
for movies to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up on a Christian channel and there was a preacher there and he led me to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
After I know I got saved then, because what I wanted to do was, the first thing I wanted to do was go to church.
See, something changed. All of a sudden,
yeah,
you want to go to church.
I wanted to go to church.
All of a sudden, you want to go to church. Where did that come from? Wow, something happened inside of you.
I can't explain.
Did you follow through with going to church?
Yes, I went to every service.
So that was an action. It wasn't. You didn't just tell your wife, Judy. Guess what? I got born again.
Then
I got saved, right?
Then I went
because,
there to tell everybody else.
Let's relate it to healing here. Yeah. I got healed, right? But what did I do next? If I truly believe that I got healed, you told Judy, I got saved. I was just fooling around with this TV, and this preacher just happened to be there. And he led me to the Lord. And Judy's looking at you like, okay, is this the same Cain I've lived with? What's going on here? And she's watching. But, you know, she had been believing God that this will happen someday.
Yeah.
She didn't know the day it was going to happen, right? Right?
She only prayed 15 years.
We bless the Lord. So, but the point I'm making now is this, is that you didn't just tell her. The next morning, you actually got up, dressed up, and followed her to church.
Yeah.
And she was still looking and see you if you will run out at a certain point, but you didn't.
And the building didn't fall down.
And you sat through. And you are still sitting through till today. Praise Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, you convinced her now that you were saved. Not by the words that came out of your mouth, but by something you did. And what was that?
By what she seen me do.
She saw you
going to church.
Can you see what James is talking about here?
Tell my testimony to anybody I could.
Yeah. And all of us can testify to this, right? All of us, every single one of us can testify to this. I received prayer for healing. I was having pain. It was terrible pain in my hand. When I came back from mission last time, 2019, I couldn't turn this hand. It was so painful. I could not do this. I couldn't raise it like this. My husband wasn't sure what was going on. I wasn't sure what was going on, right? Then I received prayer for it. It lasted for about 3 days. By the fourth day, I was able to use it. And the first thing that came to my head was, you just came back from mission. Should just go and lay down and rest. You know, the first day I did so. The next day it got worse. And all of a sudden I remembered that if I don't use this hand very soon, I may lose the use of it forever. I said, heck no, Satan, you're leaving. Right? I believe I received. Then I started. It was awfully painful. It was very painful. I kept exercising it a little at a time. a little at a time. A little at a time. About 2 days after, I went back to my husband. I said, please lay hands on this hand again. And he did. We prayed. And I kept doing that. I avoided laying on it because I didn't want it to get worse. Then I said, I'm thinking sick. Because if I said I am healed, I shouldn't be thinking sick. Right? So I was thinking sick. So I said, I'm going to lay on it, even with the pain. The next morning, it actually felt worse because I laid on it. I said, I'm going to lay on it again. And by the third, the fourth morning, I forgot because the pain was gone. I took my bath. I was able to scratch my back. I was like, oh my God, it's gone. You know how it is. You're expecting something from God, and when it happens, you're so surprised that it happened, right? And I understand that all the sicknesses and diseases we deal with may not be that physical that you can easily practice. There's something you couldn't do then that you can start practicing. But the truth of the matter is that it starts with our thinking. When you believe that you have been healed, you receive prayer, you have to be mindful of what are going on in your head. What are the things that are going on in your head? You came out here for prayers. You went to a pastor for prayers. You went to someone for prayers. They prayed for you instantly. In fact, if there was something you couldn't do before, you started doing it. You walked around, you know, you did all of that, right? That's evidence that at least you can do that, right? But then you're walking out of the church. How many of you have heard me say Satan doesn't go on vacation? Just because you ran in front and demonstrated you were healed, it's not going to go immediately away. He's going to knock back. And as soon as you're walking out the door, oh, what happened? I ran out. I must not have been healed, right? And the moment you start thinking that way, if you don't catch yourself and say, no, I was healed. Satan, get out. Yep. I was healed. Because that thing that happened, you didn't make it up. That's the part we don't think about. That running in front, you know, the person who prayed for you and said, demonstrate, is the pain still there? No. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say it is now? If it was 10 before you came out, you said pretty 2, in fact, 0. And all of a sudden you walk out, it seemed like 20, right? Mm-hmm. Then you start confessing
what you're feeling,
right? I'm not saying you are not feeling what you're feeling. That's not what I'm saying at all. But where did the healing you demonstrated earlier, Ron, where did it come from?
Faith.
It came from your faith, came from God. It's in you somewhere. Hello? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
It's in you somewhere. It wasn't the person who prayed for you that ran for you. You were the one that ran, right? It's somewhere inside of you. But you don't think about that.
No, I think about the pain.
You think about the pain. You focus on the pain. And you think sick, think pain. And then you follow through with that thinking. And what you follow through is what you're going to manifest. If you follow through with that sick thinking, you manifest the thinking. If you follow through, no, I was was healed. Pain, I ran that thing, and I'm going to run it again. You may not run as fast as you ran earlier. You might not take as many steps as you took earlier. But take some steps in the direction of the healing you received. That is a demonstration that you believe. You are demonstrating this now to yourself, not to anybody, that you believe. Faith is such a tricky thing that sometimes it might appear like you're taking a risk. How many of us feel that way sometimes? You know, if I, you know, run, am I not risking falling off? Right? If I couldn't stand, if I stand, am I not risking falling off? That's what would be in your head. Again, I'm not telling you, force yourself to do it if you are not there in your heart, okay? If you are not there in your heart, don't do it. But the truth of the matter is that regardless of when you do it, it will always appear like you're taking a risk. It will always appear that way. Let's look at this woman with issue of blood. Let's look at the account in, actually it's in three places. I'll give you the three places, then I'll tell you. Matthew 9, chapter 9, Mark chapter 5. But I want to look at, actually, Mark chapter 5. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. From verse 20, 35. This woman, again, let me describe her condition. She was unclean, right?
Yep.
Period. So she took the risk and came out to the crowd. If they caught her, there was a big possibility that they would have stoned her to death, right?
Yes.
But that didn't deter her. Because she was determined to get healed. From verse 25.
What verse are you in?
Verse 25.
25.
Of Mark 5. A woman in the crowd had suffered, I'm reading it in New Living Translation, had suffered for 12 years. That's the other thing. Sometimes the longer the symptoms, the sickness, the disease, the more it is in our brain. And that's the picture of us we have, right? Is it possible to clean out that picture?
Yes.
How?
All things are possible through Christ Jesus.
All things are possible. Some people will say all things are possible for God. But for me, I don't know. Right? But through him, all things are possible. Who can give me one way you can erase that from your...
Well, remembering what she was like before she was started to bleed...
For the woman to remember what
wholeness.
She was like,
yes,
before.
Wholeness in God.
Amen. Amen. But how many of us have struggled to remember that? I'm being real here. Because see, this is the reality where we live, right? We struggle with that. So you have to do what? You have to make an effort to erase that. It doesn't happen by accident. It won't just go away.
You have to use your imagination.
You have to use your imagination. Thank you, sir.
You have to find. You have to seek. You have to have something to find to seek. If you don't have a picture in your head of where you want to go, like you said,
she remembered what she was before. She got a picture in her head that says, I was once whole, and God can make me that again.
Amen.
Because that whole thing puts into these aspects.
Amen.
There's a mountain that
Amen.
God has
Amen.
To move for this to happen. And he's already done it.
Thank you. In fact, that was the part I was waiting for. He has already done it. If I was like that before, when I received my healing, that was what I was restored back to.
That's right.
And that's the picture. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we have to renew our mind.
Renew our mind.
Wash it in the water of the word.
Praise God. You want to come over and just take over and teach? Thank you so much. Because that's exactly what it takes, right? But it has to be deliberate. It has to be intentional.
You can overwrite that
erroneous. You can override it.
And declarations you can declare with your mouth.
You can declare with your mouth. You can declare with your mouth. You can declare with your mouth. But the reason actually we are discussing it this morning is because many people declare with this mouth only, and it doesn't translate into manifesting that healing. Yes, it's important to declare with our mouth. But according to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, you have to believe in your heart, right?
Yes.
That believing in our heart is where the problem is. Because quite frankly, many of us don't understand what it means. How to. We have stumbled into belief many times in different situations in our lives. But to make it happen, you know, Jesus called it work of God. Believing is work. It's his work. Think about it. What must I do to walk the work of God? He said, believe. So believing is work of God. So you have to believe. And that, what believing entails is what we are discussing. You read it, God said it. You believe it. And now you have to demonstrate, not to God, not to anybody, but to yourself. You owe it to yourself to demonstrate to yourself that you did what? You believed.
Amen.
And the only way you demonstrate that is the actions you're taking. And that action includes your thinking. What are you seeing about yourself? About that situation. I love what our brother said there about hope. Put your fingers here and let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Because he brought me to something that... this is powerful if you see it. Let's just read verse 1. And I would like to, even if it's possible, to see it in a couple of versions. But go ahead. Who is reading? Hebrews 11:1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Faith is substance of things hoped for. Hope for. Right?
Yes.
Faith is substance of things hoped for. So when you receive prayer, what are you hoping for? What is the picture in your mind that you want to actualize in your life concerning that which you receive prayer for? What is it?
Something that's not seen.
That your sickness, that the symptoms go away, right? So you have to have a picture of it. That is the imagination he was talking about. You have to imagine, you have to hold something. Faith is not going to hit on an empty, if nothing is there, he's not going to hit on anything. Am I making any sense? So what are you hoping for? It's too bad that Satan had you dealing with this situation for as long as it has been. But now you have received prayer. You said, Satan, no more. I am no longer that person. I am no longer sick. I don't have that symptom. It does not matter how long it takes for you to have that picture of yourself healthy, healed, vibrant again, walking around, walk on it. Faith works instantly because you received your healing the moment you believe. But if you are not yet there, it will not manifest, right? So it's not God holding it back. You are yet to manifest it. What steps do you need to have to take to manifest it is what we're discussing. Faith is substance of things hoped for, substance of that hope. Substance is the substantive part of your hope. It's what will make your hope substantive, materialize, right? And you already got that part, you believe. Is anybody seeing it? Am I confusing more people? If I'm confusing you, raise your hand up because I will explain. Because it's really important to me. Like I said, it's difficult to discuss faith when we know we have been believing God all these years and we know we have been trusting God. But sometimes it becomes a very delicate topic because it will look like I'm challenging you that you don't have faith. No, that's not what is happening. It is, I'm helping you to use your faith now, take it a step further. Yes, ma'am.
Or you could believe it, and you don't have to tell people. I mean, if you're worried that you're thinking you might look silly to other people, you keep it in your heart and work on it.
Amen.
And keep praying and keep asking God and keep telling God what you hope for.
Amen.
God will give you all good things.
Now, thank you so much. See, what she's talking about is having it in your heart, you know, maybe ashamed that you say you're healed, meanwhile you're still maybe limping, right? Individual differences. You might, if that is your preference, that's fine, right? But the truth of the matter is that it's nobody's business other than you, right? That you are healed. But that brings me to another topic. And that is the fact that you, what works for you, using your brain, for example, reasoning is not the only thing that works in your brain. Do you know that? Things that are reasonable, you know, you think about something and it's reasonable. That's the only thing you do if it's reasonable. How many of us know that that's not the only thing you do? Huh? You've done some things that didn't make sense to hear, right? In my born again class, I teach the fact that there's this new man, new us, right? That is healthy, 100% healthy, right? What does 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 say? If you are a new man, if you're created in Christ, you are a new man. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, right? So everything, there's a new you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 say, put on that new you, right? There's a new you inside. So Your reality is that new you. You are not this person, handsome, beautiful person you see on the mirror. In fact, the real you does not have complexion. It does not. It's not black. It's not white. It's not.
Good question. What place does will have in this process?
Yeah, I will share that with you in a second. But do you understand what I'm saying? So there is the you inside of you that operates. That actually, that's a lot of the things, some of the things that you have done in your life that came from there. Before you got born again, the other you was controlling you. You know, if you want to know how it works, you read Romans chapter 7. You want to do right, that you says no, we are going to do wrong, right? So there's always that other you. But when the new you is allowed to take the driver's seat, now, even when you don't want to go to church, that you says, no, you are going to church. Mm-hmm. And you get up and dress up and go to church. You understand what I'm saying? So your mind, the biological you, is not the only you. Because most times we focus on this biological us. But there is this new us that influences what happens in the biological you. So you are not lying when you say you are healed because that real you is healed. 100%. But it depends on where your focus is. If you're focusing on this biological, physical you, yeah, you're lying. But if you're focusing on the real you, no, you are not lying. You are not. And the only person who would doubt you would be the person who is natural in their mind. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, spiritual things don't make sense to a natural mind. So you shouldn't even be sharing with them in the first place. You get what I mean? So the point here is that when you receive healing, you need to think differently. If you continue to think sick, you will remain sick. If you continue to see yourself as sick, you remain sick. If you don't make any effort whatsoever, I'm not saying throw away your medication. Hello? Hello? Can one, someone say, she said, don't throw away your medication. Because your medication will not stop the power of God from working. So I really don't care about that. You understand what I'm saying? It won't stop it. Your sin didn't stop the power of God from getting you saved.
That's right.
So why would your medication stop it? You understand what I'm saying? So we're not talking about medication. We're talking about steps you're taking. If, for example, before you couldn't walk five steps without sitting down to catch a breath, you know, you try one step. Next time you try two steps. Next time you try three steps at a time. And the more you do it, you are telling yourself, you're convincing yourself that you believe. Does that make sense? This lady believed in her heart that if she leaves her house and gets to Jesus, and touches the hem of Jesus' garment, that she was going to be healed. Right? Mm-hmm. Guess what she did? She didn't stay home and pray that Jesus healed her. She went, she pushed her way through the crowd, and she reached out to Jesus Christ. And once she received the healing, Jesus was like, who did that? Right? She bowed her head and she worshiped the Lord. She did. She worshiped the Lord because she knew what she did was this woman with issue of blood touching someone. It was bad enough coming out in the crowd, but touching Jesus Christ was another thing. But say, if you want to kill me, I got my healing. Whatever you want to do now, do. I got my healing, right? But my dear brothers and sisters, I want us to know that God loves us so much that if he says he has healed us, he has done what?
He has
healed us. Don't come to God with an emotion. Don't come to God crying, Lord, you know, this pain has been here forever. Please have mercy on me. Would you not heal me, Lord? Father, forgive my sins, you know. Please, please, Father, you know. What is wrong with that?
You don't believe.
Because he did it.
Unbelief.
He's already done it.
He's already done it. What else is wrong with that? It's unbelief.
You're not trusting him.
You're not trusting him. But more importantly, you're doubting the love of God for you. And that's the worst thing you can ever do when you are believing God for anything. In fact, if you read the case, you'll find out in Mark chapter 4, where the apostles were going to Jesus Christ. When, you know, they had fed 5,000 and he took it, went and he asked them to take the boat and go. And later on, he was coming on the water and the boat was about to sink. The first thing that came out of their mouth was, don't you care that we are sinking? It was the wrongest question to ask. You don't ask that kind of question to someone who had demonstrated his love for you as much as God has. As a matter of fact, one of the steps you take in helping you erase the ugly picture in your mind is to focus on the love that God has demonstrated for you. So very often we take salvation for granted. We take what Jesus Christ has done for us for granted. Okay, that's done. One, next. But we need to meditate on it so much that you wake up one morning, when the revelation bursts out open inside of you, you'll be like, Satan, you know what? Get out. You are not supposed to be here. You are not allowed here. And I'm not permitting you to stay any longer. Go in Jesus' name. And any time you spend getting there is a time well spent. Because once you stand, I don't mean your physical self standing. I mean once you stand, the real you inside stands up. You allow him to stand up. The story is over. Completely over. But you have to get there. He loves you. He loves you.
And the devil hates you. You have an enemy. You gotta be aware that he'll come at you any way he can. Anyway.
God is greater.
He is greater. You just have to remember that.
Thank you. It's amazing how the love of God for you can drown every fear, drown every doubt, drown any unbelief. Because you don't doubt that there is God. You don't doubt that Jesus Christ already died for you. You don't doubt that he already provided this healing for you. But what you're doubting is how much God loves you. If he loved you that much, why would he allow that symptom to remain in your body? Does it make sense? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give unto you that which you seek? How many are ready to receive their healing this morning? Stand on your feet, because we are getting rid of this today, and you're going to believe that you're healed, and you will take the steps to maintain your healing Because it's not that you're receiving new healing, but you're maintaining your healing. Girl, please join me. If you need healing, please stand up on your feet. We'll pray. If you don't need healing, we will leave. Those who need healing will wait behind. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for providing healing and helping us to walk in good health. Lord, you are not going into the manufacturing facility right now to manufacture our healing. We know that you have already provided, we know you have already healed us. Grant us revelation knowledge this morning about that healing. Help us to receive this healing, mighty God, and give us the courage to demonstrate to ourselves that we are healed, that our healing might fully manifest on the outside. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.